Today we're building a GRU reactive pad system in Ableton Live 12 that actually feels like jungle and old school DNB, not just a pad sitting politely behind the drums. The goal here is simple, but the result can be huge. We want the pad to dance with the break, not to compete with it, not to float above it in some generic ambient way, but to move like it belongs in the same room as the drums and bass. That's the secret sauce for that rolled, hypnotic, slightly warped early DNB energy. This works especially well in intros, breakdowns, switch-ups, and DJ-friendly sections where the vibe matters as much as the rhythm. And the best part is, we can do the whole thing with stock Ableton devices. So let's build it from the ground up. First, create the pad sound itself. You want something stable but not too clean. A great place to start is Waveatable or Analog. If you're using Waveatable, try a saw-on oscillator 1, and maybe a triangle or another detuned saw-on oscillator 2. Keep the unison modest, maybe 2 to 4 voices. You want width, but you do not want a super glossy super saw cloud taking over the mix. Set a low pass filter and keep the cutoff fairly controlled. Depending on how dense your drums are, you might sit anywhere from about 500 Hz up to around 2.5 kHz. For the envelope, give it a medium attack, something like 40 to 150 milliseconds, and a release around 1.5 to 4 seconds so the pad can breathe and smear a little bit in a musical way. For the harmony, keep it dark and simple. Minor voicings work beautifully here. Root, minor 3rd, 5th, and 7th is a great starting point. You can also use a more modal shape like root, 4th, flat 7, and 9. The point is to make it moody, not crowded. Now here's where the magic starts. We're not going to use a random swing preset and call it a day. We're going to pull GRU from the drums themselves, or from a breakbeat that actually represents the feel of the track. Drag a jungle break, an edited drum loop, or even a swingy percussion loop into a track. Then open the groove pool and extract GRU from that source. If the break has a strong shuffle, that groove becomes your timing reference. Apply it to the pad MIDI clip, but don't overdo it. Start with timing around 40 to 70%. Add a little random if you want some instability, maybe 2 to 8%. And if you want the groove to affect dynamics too, bring in a bit of velocity influence, around 10 to 25%. This is a really important idea in jungle and old school DNB. Multiple layers can share the same rhythmic DNA, even when they're playing different parts. When the pad inherits the break swing, it stops sounding like a pasted-on chord bed and starts sounding like it was born from the same session as the drums. Now program the pad as a phrase, not as wallpaper. That's a big one. Don't just draw one long sustained chord from bar 1 to bar 16. Even atmospheric DNB needs arrangement logic. Build a 4-bar or 8-bar MIDI clip with chord changes that happen in a musical way. Maybe the chord moves on bar 1 and bar 3. Maybe you let notes hold across the bar line. Maybe you drop out a chord hit on beat 4, or on the end of 4, so the pad breathes before the snare comes back in. You can even add one inversion change or a passing chord for tension. A very usable shape for a moody intro might be 2 bars on the tonic minor, then 2 bars on the flat 6 major or a sus voicing, then back to the tonic, and finally a small twist at the end with an added 9 or a missing root. That kind of movement keeps the pad emotional without clogging the low end. Once the notes are in, apply the groove to the clip and listen carefully. If the pad feels like it's landing too late against the snare, reduce the groove amount. If it feels stiff, push it a little more. You're aiming for a pad that leans into the rhythm, not one that trips over it. Next, let's route the pad through a proper modulation chain. After the instrument, add auto filter, then saturator, then maybe chorus ensemble or phaser flanger if you want a little extra motion, then utility. If you need it, add a compressor with sidechain from the kick or the drum bus. With auto filter, keep the cutoff under control and automate it later. Saturator can give the pad some grit and help it stay audible once the drums come in. A few dB of drive is usually enough. Utility is useful for width control, especially when you want the pad to feel huge in the breakdown and tighter in the drop. And if you use sidechain compression, keep it subtle. We're not trying to make the pad pump like an EDM lead. We just want breathing room, maybe 1 to 3 dB of gentle ducking so the drums can speak. Also watch the frequency range. If the pad is muddy, carve out some low mids around 180 to 350 Hz. If it's fighting the snare or the break transients, look at the 2 to 5 kHz zone. Small cuts can make a massive difference in this style. Now we get into automation, which is where this lesson really comes alive. The pad should not sit in one static state. It should evolve with the arrangement. Automate the auto filter cutoff first. In the intro, keep it more closed and atmospheric. In the build, Slowly open it up. In the drop, tighten it again so the drums hit harder. Then in the transition, maybe give it a quick lift for one bar to reveal the harmonic content before you pull it back down. Automate reverb dry slash wet, echo feedback or filter, stereo width with utility, and maybe saturate or drive too. In a jungle or old school DNB arrangement, short phrase automation usually works better than giant cinematic sweeps. Think 2-bar rise, 1-bar hold, 1-bar drop. That kind of movement feels more like classic dance music arrangement and less like a trailer soundtrack. A really good workflow trick is to map filter cutoff and saturator drive to one macro, then automate that macro. That way the tone movement stays cohesive, and you can tweak it later without having to redraw multiple lanes. Now let's route the space more intelligently. Instead of slapping loads of reverb directly on the pad channel, create return tracks. Make one return for reverb, one for echo, and maybe one for a parallel texture or coarse layer if you want extra color. Send the pad to those returns and automate the send amounts. In intros and breakdowns, push more reverb. In the drop, reduce it so the drums stay in front. Use short echo throws at phrase ends, especially before a snare hit or section change. For the reverb itself, keep it controlled. A decay around 1.2 to 2.8 seconds is often enough. Add a bit of pre-delay, maybe 15 to 35 milliseconds, so the pad doesn't get too washed out. And always low cut the return, maybe around 200 to 400 Hz, so the low end stays clean. If the track is very dark, you can also high cut the reverb to keep it from getting fizzy. Here's the groove trick inside the routing. The pad's timing and its space automation should work together. If the notes land slightly behind the beat and the reverb blooms after that, the whole thing feels like a classic atmospheric jungle element. It feels played, not programmed. Now make the arrangement react to the drums and bass with selective sidechain and muting. If the break and sub are the engine of the track, the pad needs to get out of the way just enough to let them hit. Use compressor sidechain, from the kick or from the full drum bus, depending on what feels right. Keep the attack fast, the release medium, the ratio moderate. We're aiming for subtle ducking, not a big breathing house groove unless that's specifically the sound you want. 1 to 4 dB of gain reduction is usually plenty. You can also automate track mute, device on and off, or clip gain for more arrangement lift. For example, mute the pad for 1 bar before the drop, let the tails continue through the silence, then bring the full pad back on the downbeat or on the bar 3 snare. That kind of negative space can make the drop feel much heavier. To keep it professional, don't rely on random variation. Add rhythmic variation deliberately. Change note lengths. Throw in occasional stabs at the end of a 2-bar or 4-bar phrase. Use tiny timing offsets. If the synth responds musically, use velocity changes too. A really strong advanced move is to create a second pad layer. Keep the same chords, but move it an octave higher, high pass it aggressively, and give it a bit more groove than the main pad. Use it only in breakdowns or transition moments. That gives you a shadow texture that adds excitement without crowding the sub or kick. And if you want to push this even further, treat the groove pool like a timing accent map. Duplicate the same pad clip and try different groove strengths on each layer. Maybe your main pad uses moderate groove, the higher texture uses stronger groove, and the filtered layer uses just a touch. That layered rhythm hierarchy can make the whole thing feel much more alive. One thing to watch carefully, after groove is applied, check your note start positions. If the chord changes or landing too close to snare hits, the groove can make the pad feel late or messy. In this style, a tiny preemptive placement often works better than putting everything exactly on the grid. Also keep your automation curves shaped, not flat and linear. Old school movement usually feels better with eased ramps and quick dips. A sharp filter close before a drop can be way more effective than a long perfect fade. If you want a darker, more aggressive flavor, here are a few extra moves. Resample the pad to auto, then re-import it and apply groove again. That gives you a slightly broken, chopped feel that works beautifully in jungle. You can also layer a very quiet noise bed underneath, high pass it, and groove it with the pad so the atmosphere feels glued to the rhythm section. Another great trick is to widen the pad in breakdowns and narrow it in the drop. Something like 110 to 130% width in the breakdown, then back to 70 to 90% in the drop, can really help the bass and kick stay focused. And a little saturation before the reverb helps the pad survive once the drums arrive. Remember, the pad is not just filling space. It should react to the bassline and the drum arrangement. If the bass answers on beat 3, let the pad lift on beat 1 or the end of 2. that call and response structure keeps the track sounding arranged, not looped. A quick practice challenge for you. Make a 4-bar minor pad in wave-eatable or analog, extract groove from a break, apply it to the clip, add auto filter, saturator, and utility, then automate the cutoff so bars 1 and 2 are darker, and bars 3 and 4 open up a little. Send it to reverb and echo returns, then create a second version with a stronger groove and higher cutoff for the breakdown. Compare the pad in 3 states, wide and wet in the intro, narrower and drier in the drop, and open with a short echo throw in the transition. Finally, check everything in mono with the drums and sub. If it still feels moody, rhythmic, and clear, you've nailed it.